Lord, we bless your name for your goodness, your mercy upon us. Help us, O Lord, guide us, and speak to us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. So today we are going to be doing a quick review of the book of Titus, and we are going to follow it up by focusing on an aspect of the book of Titus, which highlights training by the grace of God. Training by the grace of God. Can you repeat after me? Training by the grace of God. Amen. And our key scripture is from Titus chapter 2, 11, verse 12. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go! For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So if you look to the left, you can see I am the one there doing the weight lifting. If you can't see me there, you have to go and check your eyes. Yeah, maybe this is me, the near future. Amen. So quickly, let's do a quick review of the book of Titus. Where is the book of Titus found? In the Old Testament? The New Testament. Who is the writer of the book of Titus? Someone said, Paul. Why did you say sorry? Yes. The book of Titus was written by Apostle Paul, and it's part of the three-part series, which are called the Pastoral Letters. And the Pastoral Letters were written by Paul to young leaders of the church to establish order in the church. So 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus. And I love the book of Titus because it is needed for order today. The church of God needs order. The church of God needs structure. In these last days, the heart of many are waxing cold and starting in the church. So we ought to understand what the demands of God are for his body and what we ought to do in response. So I have 3 points. I wrote, the epistle to Titus is a pastoral letter written by Paul, providing guidance on church leadership and sound doctrine. It aims at ensuring church order and establishing godly fellowship. Guys, when I come down here, it means I want to be preaching together with you. So be reading and responding, even ask, so that it can be hard, no hand up, right? The letter emphasizes the importance of sound teaching and good works, urging people to teach what is consistent with sound doctrine. In this day and age, if you go to a church and Jesus is not preached, tell the ushers you want to go to the bathroom. And when you get out of the church, remove your shoes, put it under your armpit, and do what? Run away. If you go to a church when they tell you things that are not consistent with the word of God, run away. But the issue is, we ourselves, we don't know what the Bible says. So when the pastor is lying to you, you put it out. You even put it out. You will just be there. But you don't know whether the pastor is lying to you or the pastor is deceiving you. Amen. So the idea of sound doctrine starts from the word and ends in the word. There is nothing in between. Just the word, just the truth. No traditions, no feelings. You may feel it right, but if it goes against the word, it's wrong. You may have been doing it for years, but if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. I feel like preaching in Chinese today. Oh Lord, help me. So I just want to highlight, Paul instructs Titus on various aspects of church life, including the qualifications of elders, the behavior of different groups within the church, and the need for Christians to live upright and godly lives. I want to encourage you. We are in the summer. We are having summer vacation. I want to encourage you. These 3 books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, if you can, make time to read them.
them over and over again. And if you can, put up notes, write notes on them. And if you say any question, invite me. I would love to talk with you. I would love to sit with you. I would love to go through the books with you. So please, challenge yourself, read. On the other hand, every morning, for the whole month of July, we are doing an Old Testament review. The whole review of the whole Old Testament. And I think we are on which book now? Which book are we on? We just finished Ezra and Nehemiah, right? So we are going on to the prophets. Join us. There is no better place to grow than a place where the word of God is being shared. Amen. So quickly, let's look at the book of Titus, an overview of the book of Titus. And I like to put things in table form because I feel it's easy for people to follow. I like to put things in table form because I feel it's easy for people to follow. Amen. So when we look at the idea of the book of Titus has how many chapters? Three chapters. Great. The first chapter was taking charge. Taking charge as leaders. And we begin taking charge in a godly way by the appointing of godly leaders. Very important. So the elders were inscribed as to how they shall be appointed. And this was not only with regard to the church in Crete, but to the whole church with reference to the body of God. Then we also see the idea of rebellious people. How to deal with rebellious people. Then in chapter 2, we see the giving of advice. Giving of advice to men and women, old and young. And my favorite part of the advice is when he says, men be of self-control. If you are sitting beside a man, tell the man, have self-control. If you are sitting beside a man, shake the man by the shoulder, tell the man, have self-control. You know, as a man, the fact that you feel to do something does not mean you should do something. Have self-control. Have self-control. Self-control is a man. And the worst part are men who are controlled by their lust. Wherever your lust is directed, that's where you are going. If you don't change, you might die a very painful death. Wherever your lust is leading you, you just do, so you are married, but because your wife is not here and you are lustful, you end up doing nasty things. And if you feel nobody is seeing you, you feel nobody is watching you. But then Ecclesiastes says, on the day of judgment, your sin will be made bare. And that bare there in the Hebrew form says, it will be shouted from the rooftop. So when they see you coming from the gate, they will say, there comes Perry. The man who was hiding and watching pornography, they will shout your sins and your deeds from the rooftop. And the reality is this. Even if there is nobody, be more afraid of he who watches you from above. And be more afraid of he who is watching you from below. Who is waiting to welcome you if you continue in that way of destruction. So we see also that there's an advice for older women. Older women, do not be given to wine. Do not be given to alcohol. But teach the younger women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. Older women, teach the younger women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. But now the older women, we don't do that. We are always complaining of arthritis and back pain. We are always complaining that we don't sleep well. And the young women who are having their ways in their marriage, not being submissive to their husbands, not knowing how to raise their children. And sometimes, as young women, one of the greatest signs of humility is being able to go and talk to an older woman and say, teach me. Teach you. Teach you. Amen. Then we see also in the chapter 3, doing right, where it highlights what to do and what not to do. So we see further on the idea of targets. Chapter 1, targets and elders and enemies of the word. And chapter 2, targets and specific And chapter 3, the body of Christ. And when we look at the issues being targeted and being dealt with in each chapter, we see the idea of setting right leadership. Setting leadership is important. Leadership is, that's why as a man, your role in the family is important. As a man, your role in the family is important. Over the years, I've worked hearing how men are neglecting their roles in their family. Now we don't have men teaching their wives again. We don't have men praying for their wives again. We don't have men being priests to their children. We don't have men disciplining their children. Sometimes when you run after money, you realize that you get the money and you lose everything else. And when you are 6 feet, you know what 6 feet? When you are 6 feet, you realize you can't go with your octopus car. You can't go with your bank card. When you are dead, you can't go with it. All the money you have worked for, you are still, you can't go with it. All the insurance, the some of the investments. You know. The bonds, the treasury bills. You can't go with them. Now people are being stock trading. Everything you see them on their phone, the stock is going up, their blood pressure is going up, the stock is falling, they are about dying. Don't place money as a priority over your family. Amen. God is faithful. Then we see also the idea of the approach to good and bad. Remember, we are not saved by works, but we are saved unto good works. Our works can never save us. But once we are saved in Christ, we ought to show forth godly works. The book of Philippians calls them fruits of righteousness. That when you are a Christian, the way you behave must be in line and of conformity of Jesus Christ. You can come as you are. Whether you are someone who easily gets annoyed, whether you are someone who has been beaten, you can come as you are. But when you come, you must be humble enough to take the engrafted word of God and allow the engrafted word of God to transform you. Amen. Then it goes on to the idea of the approach. Good order. Chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, I left you in Crete. For you to establish good order. Establish chapter 3. Then the chapter 2, the idea of sound doctrine. Chapter 2, verse 1. Do not fail to teach sound doctrine. Do not fail to preach the word, even when it makes people uncomfortable. Sometimes when I'm preaching and I look at people's faces, I feel like people are not comfortable with what I'm saying. But if I don't say that, you will perish. So just now that I was talking about you being a man and you are running after other ladies while you are married, what I'm saying, you may not be comfortable because you are doing it. But if I don't say it, you will perish. And your blood will be on my hands. Because in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible says, the sword cometh, and the watchman shouted, but woe unto the watchman who doesn't fall out of the people. And if the sword cometh and take away their lives, their blood will be a part of the watchman. I've been made the watchman over you, and I'm not here to pamper you. I'm here to tell you the truth. You may not like me, but like the way. Amen. But that doesn't mean hate me, I beg you. Don't hate me. Amen. Let's have lunch. Let's eat Oreos. Strawberry Oreos. Let's eat strawberry Oreos and chicken. Chicken together. Specifically, chicken and nata. Right? What's the name of the Filipino chicken? Chicken what? In nata. Yes, let's eat. Very, very good. Not too spicy. Amen. Let's get back to the word. The theme of the book of Titus. Encourage you right living through sound doctrine. Feed on the word, and the word will yield good living. If you want to change how you live, change what is getting into your mind. If you want to change how you live, change what is getting into your heart. Feed on the word of God. Feed on the true word of God. And your lifestyle will change. Key verse is chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read together. This is why, so that the reason was order. There must be order in the church. There must be order in the church. Amen. And Christ in the book of Titus can be seen as the Lord and Savior who redeems and sanctifies us. Great. So now let's go to the sub-theme for today. Training by the grace of God. Training by the grace of God. And we read from chapter 2, from verse 11 to verse 14. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So we see here in the chapter 2, Paul is giving advice about godly living and how the people groups should behave, how the church ought to behave. And in the light of this good advice, he now begins to touch on the idea that grace has appeared to you and I. He now begins to make it known to us that a person, a concept, a realm, an understanding was made known to you and I. And by that, he goes on to say that this grace trained us. This grace that was appeared on a bringing salvation of what? It trained us. Remember what I said. You can come as you are, but don't stay as you can. Because when you come to the Lord, he will train you unto godliness, unto conformity with his son Jesus. And the reality is this, it's important because we need that maturing even as we wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Very important. When the Lord comes, will he find faith in your life? Or will he find complaining and memory? And some people, we are made a habit to always complain about everything. We always complain. Complain about this. We never see anything good in anything. We never compliment anybody. When was the last time you told your wife thank you? When was the last time you told your husband thank you? When was the last time you showed appreciation to your mom and dad? When was the last time you extended that essence of appreciation? The idea of not living according to the standard of this world is because we are looking onto the coming of our Lord and Savior. When we show forth godliness, and now, this is a crucial part I want you to understand. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So anytime you see the idea of grace, it's talking not just about an action, but also a what? A person. And who is the person of grace? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the full presentation of grace. Grace in Greek. Grace in Greek is charis, meaning an essence of benevolence and kindness. Grace in Hebrew is shed. And I just realized that one of my favorite professors in law school was called Chen Guiping. So after I read about it, I sent him a message. Lao Shi, you know your name means grace. Maybe there's a family name for Chen. But the idea of Chen in the Hebrew means the essence of kindness, not based on the character of the receiver. You may talk about the showman. You may talk about the essence of kindness, not being on the character of the what? Of the receiver. That is gracious. And grace underlines our dealings with God. And the reason why grace is sometimes described as unmerited favor, the expression of God's benevolence and kindness to his children, is because the very conduit, the very pattern of our relationship is grace itself, Jesus Christ. There can be no grace without Jesus. That's why Peter says, may grace and peace be multiplied unto you by your knowledge of the word of Christ. Just important. So we see again, the idea of grace is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The idea of grace within the realm of an action stems from the kindness and benevolence of a father, not based on the character of his children. Very important. We move on. Now we look at the ministry of grace. What is the ministry of grace? Romans chapter 3, 24. It says, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in. So literally, our salvation, the first ministry of grace is your salvation. You are saved by grace through faith, not by works that you should boast. Turn to someone and tell the person, you were not saved because you were handsome. Tell someone, tell the person, you are not saved because of your long hair. Imagine if we were being saved because of our long hair. Imagine if we were being saved because of how we look. We are saved because of Jesus Christ. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. The first ministry of grace is your salvation. Amen. The second ministry of grace, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Let's continue. Which is able and among all those who are. The second ministry of grace is your building up. Grace is interested in you being built up by the word. Amen. Not being built up by philosophies of this world. It helps me so much when I see believers being more concerned by philosophies and thought patterns of this world more than being concerned about principles of the Bible. And now what people do now is they take philosophies of this world and transliterate them onto the scripture. Where scripture is infallible, where scripture is true, where scripture has all authority, and rather scripture should rather be used as a worldview to do all things. And in some way we think ourselves as wise, as enlightened. Hey, it would be horrible for such people on the day of judgment. I live for such people on the day of judgment. If you stand there, you will think you were wise in your own way. It will be sorrowful for you when you think that you gained understanding to live in the way that made you seem wise. It will be sorrowful for you. It will be sorrowful for you if you pretend to think you are wiser than the Lord who made all things. It will be sorrowful for you. Repent when there is still time. Seek the Lord whilst he may be found. For a time coming, holiness, his love, will still be saved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ. So in essence of the gifting to the body of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, we have the gift of men. So as Christ ascended, he gave gifts unto men. And these gifts were apostles, teachers, prophets, evangelists. These gifts of men are for the equipping of the saints, so that we will be all made ready for the work of ministry. My idea of service to you is not to make you stuck onto me like a donkey. When you always, Pastor Perry, I need to do this, what should I do? No. My idea of my service to you is to get you to sing and to walk along with Christ, so that you can go and be a blessing to your family. I'm equipping you for your ministry. Your first ministry is your family. So as I teach you, you don't have to come to me and make me look like I am the fourth personality of the Holy Spirit. You know me. Sometimes I get shouted to kill a cockroach. So don't put me in a place where I don't belong to. I am, as a pastor, my duty is to prepare you for what the Lord is asking you to do. Not to hold you close. So if you are in any place in church where it seems as though the pastors want to keep you to themselves, everything you do, it has to go through them. You are in danger. What did I say? Because the only person who deserves your full attention is who? Jesus Christ. Amen. So the third ministry of grace is to sustain you or to service. We receive this measure of grace as gifts. The gifts that we receive to serve the church. Grace that came. That's why service in the church is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Because the grace of God sustains your service in the house of the Lord. If someone is sleeping beside you, shake the person and tell the person, how can you sleep? The fourth ministry of grace. You then, my child, be strengthened by what? Tell someone and tell the person, be strengthened by the grace of God. In fact, find three people, shake them, tell them, be strengthened by the grace of God. Get up, find three people, tell them, be strengthened by the grace of God. Be strengthened by the, if you need to get up, tell someone, be strengthened by the grace of God. Be strengthened by the grace of God. Be strengthened by the grace of God. We may not know what you are going through, but be strengthened by the grace of God. We may not know the tears you cried yesterday night, but be strengthened by the grace of God. We may not know the hope that is being dashed, but be strengthened by the grace of God. We may not know how you are feeling in us for a church, but be strengthened by the grace of God. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12 now comes. In my understanding, the fifth ministry of grace. Training of the believer. And remember what I said, the expression of grace. The first expression of grace is the person of grace. And that person of grace is who? Jesus Christ. The second expression of grace is with reference to the action of grace. And that comes from the Father. That is the benevolence, the kindness, not based on the character of the receiver. And the third expression of grace I highlighted was the word of God. The word of God. And I said, Peter said, may the grace and peace of God increase in your life, even as the knowledge of God increases in you. Amen. So now, what do we mean by the training by grace? What do we mean? Our time is running very fast. Is it just me or is it for all of us? Time is going. Any time I start to preach, by the time I realize, time is gone. Is it just me or for you too? It's for all of us, right? Oh, God is faithful. So now let's go. This is the crux of ourselves. What is the change by the grace of God? What is the training by the grace of God? The training of the believer by the grace of God is the prime role of God's word by the what? By the power of who? By the power of the Holy Spirit. To do what? To teach, to instruct, and what? To discipline us into what? Conformity unto the image of Christ. So that we may bring our Heavenly Father
glory.
Remember, don't you see the first athlete I posted there? That person who was leading the way is called Anthony Joshua. He is British. he is British by citizenship, by Nigeria, by birth. And he is strong. He is very strong. He's an IBO, WBO, he's a heavyweight title holder. He has four championships. Very strong guy. I don't like boxing anyway. I don't like boxing. I prefer team competition, but I don't like boxing. And I read about his routine. He wakes up 4 a.m. and he has a rest from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. He then goes back to the house. He has a diet routine from 7 to 8. Then from 9 to 11, he has another work routine. Then from 12 to 3, he has a very strict nap routine. You know what nap is, right? Like take a nap. A very strict nap routine. Then from 4 hours, he has heavy metal work routine. So when you see that someone like that is a champion, we only see the tip of the iceberg, but we don't see the training. The training is what we go through so that we can be presented for the glory of the Lord. Let's go back to the page. So indeed, the training of the believer by the grace of God is the prime role of God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit to teach, instruct, and discipline us unto conformity unto the image of Christ, so that we may bring our Heavenly Father glory when tested. And I have said the scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, from 11 to 15. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the and of the knowledge to mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of who? So that we may no longer be what? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of by human cunning, by craftiness. And that is the thing about following these worldly principles. They are so cunning. They are so deceitful. You may, if you give ears to them, they will deceive your heart. If you give ears to them, they will destroy your heart. And by the time you realize it's too late. If indeed Jesus is true, let all men be light. And show that by your work. Seek his word first. So we see here, the goal is to be like Christ. The goal is to mature into Christ. The goal is to show forth Christ. May Christ be seen in and through you in Jesus' name. Now, why the training by the grace of God? Why the training by the grace of God? The training of the believer by the grace of God is necessary because all believers will do what? Will one day stand before the throne of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to give account for that which we did and said while on earth. Some of us will be rewarded and others will not. Revelation says, behold, I come quickly. And in the path of glory, when you see someone receiving a crown, you will know that that crown was meant for you. So if you ask yourself how Revelation says that the Lamb of God will wipe away their tears. Because some of us, it will take the consoling of the Lamb of God. After we realize what we're supposed to do in the kingdom, but we settle for foolishness. For some of us, to take consoling by the Lamb of God, when we realize that the Lord puts you in your family, but you settle for foolishness. If you take consoling, the Lamb of God will have to console you, because you will now see the purpose for which God called you. You were busy doing other things that didn't glorify His name. Lord, have mercy on us. Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Jesus speaking about the essence of fruits.
If you are really born again, there must be fruit. I didn't say there should be fruit. There must be fruit. I read, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its, you brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account of every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be. Be mindful of the fruit you are showing. And that is why the Bible says, behold, judgment cometh. Peter said, but the judgment will start where? In the house of the Lord. The judgment that we see, the Bema Seat judgment, the white throne judgment, it will start in the house of the Lord. May we be found behind the cross. How are we trained by the grace of God? How are we training by the grace? How are we trained by the grace of God? And I read, a believer is trained by the grace of God by approaching God's word like a what? Like a child. And what does it mean to approach God's word like a child? Believing and what? You know, when I became born again, there were a lot of things I didn't understand. But it took time. And as I gave myself time and I grew, the Lord helped me. Don't think you are too smart that as soon as you become born again, or you have to understand everything.